Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am the aforementioned Mark Lawrence. Ben Reichle is across from me. We have our Financial Friday panel in the studio. We're going to be talking about that shortly, talking to them shortly, and we'll give them a full introduction. We're going to be joined by a former state senator who's an expert in governmental and business relations. So State Senator Earl Baker is going to be on the news line as we continue with Financial Friday. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565 if you have a call or a comment during our discussion. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from you. Our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane North 4th Street in Sunbury. Tell them you got a road trip planned. You're going to be going to the Penn State game, and you got to have a vehicle that's ready to go, and they will get your vehicle ready with what they call a trip check, and that means you are ready to go. They check the belts and hoses and fluids and wash it and align it and make sure it's good to go. They might even mention that there is even newer models of your particular type of vehicle because they sell hundreds of pre-owned vehicles and dozens of new Fords, Hyundais, Kias, and Lincolns. But you can check it all out in advance and make an appointment in advance at sunburymotors.com, and they would just love to talk to you. Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome aboard, sir.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
I do appreciate you coming in. He's doing a superlative job, really has the chamber running on all cylinders, and the chamber's growing. We just see it all over the place in the leadership group and the young professionals and a wide range of other affiliates and organizations, and so the chamber is booming. And Ben Reichle is with us, local businessman, conservative, Republican committee person, just an American first, right? First and foremost.
Did we lose the deep voice man's intros?
It did just say me. Yeah, that's the default. I forgot to switch it around.
We lost, I was going to say, hopefully the deep man's voice is
still
here. Good. Apologize for your Cubbies. You also didn't make the playoffs, but you lost your manager. But, we'll see what happens next year. So, as they say in Chicago and Boston very often, that wait till next year.
Oh, okay. They say that a lot of places.
They might say that in Philly, too.
And Art Thomas joins us. He's the vice chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. So welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. We've talked to him a number of times on a number of topics. We talked to him about the good work that he does at his company now, Mech Tech, which is an engineering firm around here. Nobody thinks they need an engineer until they do, and then they really do. So Mech Tech is one of the good ones. And River Valley Senior Providers Group has their new book coming out shortly. So before you go, I want to get a glimpse of that, and then you're coming up on Sunrise in the weeks ahead. Of course, I think of him as a fellow Shikellamy graduate. I missed him by about 5 years, but he's a good Northumberland resident. You grew up, is that right?
Yep, on top of the hill on Prince Street, above the pool.
Oh, okay, up in that.
I was a pool member for the first 6 years, buddy. I got my name on a block in a bathhouse.
Oh, did you? Good for
you.
Yeah,
okay, I guess that's about ready to get demolished, though. I don't know.
Well, yeah, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen there. It looks like it's going to be a good hockey place in February. That's all I know. All right, so jobless numbers. What were the numbers?
Review 136,000 jobs in September. The person on the news said that was a little lower than expected. Not much lower. She's really splitting hairs there. The highest number I saw was they were expecting 145,000. The other big news there was that the rate is at 3.5%. Again, said that was the lowest rate since 1969, 50 years. I'm going to check that out when I get back to my office. That may be the lowest unemployment rate ever, or matching the lowest unemployment rate ever. Problem is, it's largely because people are leaving the labor force and there are not enough people coming into the labor force, and that's something we'll get into as this conversation goes on. We'll look forward to Senator Baker calling in, talking about a hearing coming up on Grow PA. What are we going to do about the getting more people into the labor force in the local area?
All right, what's happening with these jobless numbers? Ben, some reaction to what you're hearing?
I think the number is very positive, especially for what the media has been reporting the last 2 weeks, maybe even last month. But the number I think you need to look at is the 45,000 added on from July and August. So take July and August. Take September, add 45,000 to them. You see a lot of positive. What we're seeing around the world is a slowdown. But, you know, is it a slowdown because governments can't manage themselves very well? Is it a slowdown because the United States finally has called its trading partners out and saying, listen, we need something more equitable for us, more equitable for you? Is it a slowdown because monetary policy hasn't been implemented as well as it should be? So we'll see. We saw the World Trade Organization come out against the EU in the Airbus scandal, I would refer to it as, because it's been going on for 20 years. So the American aircraft manufacturers are competing against a company that's subsidized by the EU. So I think all intents and purposes, this is a real positive report.
Some reaction to what you're hearing, Art, as a vice chair of the chamber, you have an additional hat on to kind of monitor the comings and going of the jobless numbers.
It sounds like the data is great. We've been hearing for a couple months now that things may not be so great. So I have to admit, I'm getting a little spooked myself. You know, winter is coming, and when you're in the surveying and engineering industry, winters are typically our slowest season. Don't need anything to amplify that, but I find it interesting that we possibly have the lowest unemployment rate on record, and we're disclaiming and saying, but this, but that. It'd be different if it was 10.9% and we had some issues that were affecting things. But so it's 3.5% and we have people leaving the labor market. Maybe it could be 3.7 or 3.8. That's still pretty good. It seems to me as though anybody right now that wants a job can have one.
All right. We're going to talk to a former state senator considered an expert in governmental and business relations as we continue this analysis and talking about this. We do have the labor participation rate up, and it is the same in September as it was in August, 63.2%. So maybe that's going to continue. Maybe this is the beginning of the trend upward. Bob Garrett always tells us it's better to have a higher labor participation rate, but the baby boomers don't seem to agree. So we'll let them.
Everybody wants to retire.
Right, retire early. Though everybody's retiring.
If they've invested well and they can, look what happened since this administration has got in. They have a little bit far more in their nest egg than they did before.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. We'll be talking to a state senator. We'll continue with our Financial Friday discussion.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark Financial Friday. Bob Garrett's here. Art Thomas, Vice Chair of the Chamber, sitting in for Sue Green, who's Chair of the Chamber. She's called away for another topic, so we are going to miss her, but we'll bring her back. She changed her title anyway, but she's still allowed back. Her title at work has changed. She's a senior strategist for education, something like
that. Isn't it the 100th anniversary of the homecoming or something up at Penn State?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, things are cooking up there. All right, we have on the newsline to join our conversation today. Earl Baker's on the line. Don't adjust your radio if you think you're listening to the radio 10 years ago or so when he was in the state senate in Pennsylvania. He also served three terms as a Chester County commissioner and two terms as a state senator representing Chester County. Now he's helping to grow PA. So welcome aboard, Senator. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
I do appreciate
that. I'm very
that.
Enthusiastic about GrowPA because it affects every community in the state. And a lot of times when we discuss the economy of the state, we're thinking of the Southeast or the Lehigh Valley or the Southwest. Every part of the state is involved in GrowPA because every part of the state needs the growth in our population, the growth in our jobs, because as a state, we are improving, but we still have a ways to go in terms of our business climate and what we need to do to attract investment.
What is GrowPA? There's a segment of our audience that is going to say, I need a better explanation.
I'm glad to give it. GrowPA is a statewide movement. We are stressing the grassroots. It is not just something that is manufactured in Harrisburg or Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. It is a statewide movement. Every one of the 67 counties is involved, and it is to propose and advocate for the type of legislation that will improve our state's business climate. And here I'm not talking necessarily about the usual things that chambers talk about, which would be taxation, regulation, etc. We certainly are sympathetic with those goals, but the movement of GrowPA is bipartisan, and it's bicameral. We want it to be in the Senate and the House. We want it to be Republican and Democratic. And the type of legislation that GrowPA backs is, for example, to have 5G throughout the state, to have electric vehicle charging stations, to improve our infrastructure and our higher education. These are not partisan binary issues in the normal type of thing that they debate in Harrisburg. These are more fundamental things that will help us grow as a state, regain our population, and building on the energy revolution that is, again, pervasive throughout the state, to put Pennsylvania back into the leading economic role it could play.
Earl, this is Bob Garrett. It's good to hear your voice this morning. I think probably unknowingly, as you just explained what GrowPA is, you hit on three of the four imperatives, we call them, of our strategic plan: cost of doing business, workforce, and technology. Probably the fourth imperative is something we'll get into during that October 15th event, and that has to do with polarization, the idea of getting everybody to work together when you talk about bicameral, bipartisan. That's music to our ears. I did want to say that the event will be held at Chef's Place. That is a location in Milton. It's on October 15th in the afternoon. But at Chef's Place, Earl, Chef's Place was built essentially by ConAgra. We would know them locally as Chef Boyardee, located in Milton, Pennsylvania. And Chef's Place is partially a museum, partially a vocational training learning opportunity and partially a place where people come and learn about nutrition, learn about all the good things that are grown and happening in Pennsylvania. So I honestly can't think of a better location for the Grow PA hearing that we'll be hosting with you and Rob Wunderling and others on October 15th.
Well, I agree. It sounds like the perfect place for it. And this is an important regional gathering, Bob, and the fact that your chamber is sponsoring it is very important to us, because what it means is you have the feel of the grassroots. You know the local community. You know the economy in your area. You know the leaders, and they'll be gathering there to hear from Rob Wunderling, who is the spearhead behind the whole Grow PA movement. And by the way, there is a website if anybody wants to look it up. But it's always great to hear in person from the leader of a group that will be there on the 15th. It's great that you're hosting it, and thanks for that information.
Errol, does the Grow PA organization have any idea as to how more revenue can be generated in Harrisburg, or how some of the like the 5G idea could be funded? Do you guys get involved in that aspect of the conversation?
Yes, we do, and we're working with private sector organizations, for example, AT&T and others that are providers of internet services. It is, and the funding of it, of course, is an issue, and some things are funded privately. Some things will be funded by public-private partnerships, and some things will be funded by government. And that's part of the process. Obviously, ideas are great, but if they're not able to be implemented, and they're just ideas. But we believe in the strategic plan that Bob has outlined. You know, strategic plans sometimes sit on a shelf, and we write them and we put a lot of effort into them, and then nobody pays attention to them. In your chamber's case, you're following your strategic plan, and it's great that Grow PA just converges right into it.
Earl, this is Art Thomas with the Chamber. You mentioned there at the beginning all 67 counties are involved. Can you give us a couple examples of how the different counties are involved? Who's representing the counties in this movement with you?
It is, I would have to say, built primarily on chambers. That's not it's a coalition, shall we say, of many groups. But the important outreach groups throughout the state are the chambers. And that's why Rob, with his network of chamber executives such as Bob throughout the state, there are 14 gatherings like the one that Bob has described. So you can get an idea that we're going to be in all parts of the state, but we can't be in every county. So we're choosing locations which are convenient for gathering people, not only from one county, but from neighboring counties. And for those who, let's say if there are legislators who are available, county commissioners, economic development agencies, all of those kinds of people would be the ones who would be gathered together in each of these locations throughout the state, like the one in Milton.
All right, and Earl, give us the turnaround tour when this hearing takes place, where, when, and what happens, who has the floor, and who should attend. Give us that aspect of this.
Yes, and of course the actual specific agenda and location are chosen by the local chamber, as Bob has outlined. It will be an introduction and description of Grow PA. Rob Wunderling will speak. Anybody else that Bob would select and the chamber board members might choose a local person who fits into the Grow PA agenda. And then followed by a question and answer period and discussion, so that everybody will have a chance to learn and to be heard.
All right, so this is kind of a roundtable opportunity. Bob, go ahead and wrap us up, and we'll let the good senator go.
Okay, Earl, I guess just to sort of wrap this up, I just want to give some context to folks. You've been mentioning the name Rob Wunderling. Rob is the president, CEO of the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, basically my counterpart in Philadelphia, just a chamber's just about, 50 times larger than ours and has 50 times more issues to deal with. But But some of the things you we might want to let people know about Rob is Rob has been involved now at the Philadelphia Chamber, but prior to that he was a state senator from Montgomery County and was the deputy secretary at PennDOT who actually inked the piece of paper that created the thruway. While he's here, we're going to say thank you. And I can't wait for Rob to see this great big bridge that we're building up here with the Central Susquehanna Valley Thruway that he had more than a little bit to do with. But Rob has actually been in this business for 40 years. The first I heard of Rob, he was actually a student intern for Cliff Jones at the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. and since that time, we've all gotten a little wiser, a little grayer hair, all those sort of things. But Rob will bring us this perspective and then sort of help us connect on how our strategic plan, what we're trying to do here in the greater Susquehanna Valley, connects with the entire state, and then see what we can do to come up with some ideas that that will then throw the spaghetti against the wall and see if it sticks when it comes to what can we do about the cost of business, what can we do about building the workforce, what can we do together about bringing this 5G technology or whatever the technology is to our, particularly in areas like ours that are rural, how do these solutions that they may have emanated out of places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Harrisburg, but how do they play in places like Milton, Sunbury, Lewisburg, Sealings Grove, Shamokin, places like that? So it's one of those, we'll want people to come out, we'll want them to bring their ideas. There's no bad ideas. We want to hear everybody's concepts. This is truly an effort that has no partisan label on it, other than we want Pennsylvania to be a place where people can live, work, and play, and do that in a robust way.
Senator, we'll give you the last word and additional remark, please.
Very well stated. And people often forget the fact that Pennsylvania, they think of it as a Rust Belt state or an industrial state, as an urban population state. Actually, we're among the top three states in the country in terms of our rural population. We're right up there with Texas and North Carolina in terms of the percentage of our population who do not live in urban areas. They're scattered throughout our state, as I've already talked about, and as we've discussed on this show. And so, therefore, I think it just puts the emphasis on where we should be going to places like Milton to be dealing with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber and to carry the message out. And we're looking forward to it, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your program.
I appreciate that. Former State Senator Earl Baker, considered an expert in expediting, making sure that governmental relations meets business and meets action and gets stuff done. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for contributing to our conversation today.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that, State Senator Earl Baker. All right, other topics?
Well, I think I just want to wrap up with that this idea that, I'll say it this way, ideas have consequences. We really want folks to come out on October 15th, be part of this Grow PA hearing. That sounds like, people, they hear the word hearing, they think what's going on with the Judiciary Committee and impeachment. Well, don't think that way. This is where we're going to get together in a round table and just bounce ideas off of each other. Well, this is working here and this is working there and those kind of ideas. And we'll have the ear of the people who can actually make changes on our behalf. So this will be a great opportunity.
And can the public go to this, or is this a chamber function?
Yep. It's open to the public. We're going to be promoting it, of course, through our chamber membership, through our website, et cetera. But it certainly is open to the public. This would be a great place for budding activists, the folks that are trying to get their voices heard. Come out. We want to hear what you have to say. The topic really is on pro-jobs, creating a strong economy. That leaves out some topics, but by and large, we'd like to hear from as many people as we possibly can.
October 15th, the location?
The numbers move yet in Snyder County. We expected with Wood Mode reopening that the unemployment numbers would be coming down. Of course, the local numbers are always a month behind the national numbers. So probably next month we'll see that. But Snyder County continues to be the county with the highest unemployment rate in the state currently at 6.2%. On the complete opposite side of that, exactly one half of it is Montour County, which is one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state, is at 3.1%. It actually dropped 0.2% for the month of August. Union County had bumped up. We thought that would probably had something to do with the people living in Union County working at Wood Mode. It had bumped up and has now come back down and is actually below the state average. And we expect to see the Union County go down to around the range where Montour is at. They're currently at 3.8%. Northumberland County is always right there around 5% these last year and a half or so. We remember not that long ago when Northumberland County's unemployment was 10%. So it's at 5.4%. And what's going on otherwise locally is we have a lot of projects that are continuing. Don't have any big announcements as far as the next big project coming, but all of the big projects that we have are moving right along. Another piece of data that we're going to start to talk about a little bit is what's coming out of the Department of Labor and Industry with long-term growth and our potential here in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
All right, when we come back, Art, can you stay past the 9 a.m. hours?
Sure.
Fabulous. Okay, so we're going to continue our conversation. I know Ben's stuck here till 10, so I know he's good to go. We'll have news headlines coming up. We have lots more information. We'll have an open phones segment, and we're going to be talking about the important topics of the day on WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m. CBS News, then local news.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan never works on Friday. Ben Reichle often does, so we appreciate him coming in. We have our Financial Friday panel here. We'll introduce them in a moment. We have an announcement from the newsroom. They say because of the ongoing power outage in the Warrior Run School District, 350 PPL customers without power. One of those customers is the Warrior Run School District. So Warrior Run School District now closed. They started out with a delay early today, and now they are closed because of that power outage. The outage is said to be weather-related, but beyond that, PPL's not saying anything, and they still don't have their estimate of the restoration backup yet. The power outage is west of the, Route 54-180 interchange in the Turbotville area, just west of Turbotville, and there is 359 customers. Yeah, PPL still not saying precisely when the power will be back on or when they estimate the power to be back on. So we'll keep you posted about that.
When they got down below 50 degrees and the power went out?
I don't know. It was raining at the time
this
morning. We don't know. That might be the default on the screen. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But, the outage map still shows that 350. And the outage, strangely enough, after several hours, the outage hasn't grown or gotten any smaller, which is a little bit unusual by itself. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. And you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Art Thomas is here. He'll be back in the weeks ahead to talk about the River Valley Senior Providers Group. He's wearing his vice chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce hat today. He's, can I say, the owner of MechTech, or is that an exaggeration? The owner?
You can say that.
The owner. Okay, yeah. Fabulous. Okay, well, the MechTech business has been around for a while. He was started as a puppy there, and now he's the top dog. So we appreciate him coming in. Mr. Bob Garrett is here, the president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. His greatest fear in life is that the labor participation rate will go still lower, lower. You don't want it to go low.
Yeah,
you want it to
go up. Yeah, that's right. Our preference. But I'm still speechless from that reference about art being a puppy.
Back in the day.
I bet you were cute, Art.
Well, he's the youngest guy in the room, so watch what you say. Okay.
I have curly hair.
We do appreciate him coming in. Yeah, there was a gray hair reference in the previous segment with Earl Baker. You once had gray hair. Is that what you're telling us?
No, yeah. On the sides.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Right. Yeah.
Right, just asking.
Jeez, this is a tough audience.
Right,
tough
Ben Reichley's here.
I'm here. My greatest fear might be somebody might play football against each other next Friday, and it might be Shikellamy, or it might be Southern, or it might be
Well, they're definitely playing somebody. We know that.
So.
They are playing, so that much is clear. But, maybe we'll get a change in who they're playing.
It's a new world order in the life of football. But just think of all those folks at Warrior Run tonight with their flashlights, so they have lights at the stadium.
Yeah.
Tonight's game.
Yeah, it could be. We'll have to double-check to see
Wear
if
your sweater tonight.
Well, the old rule of thumb at Shikellamy was no school, no game. You know, it didn't matter if it was field hockey or anything. So we'll see. So we'll keep you posted. But, yeah, Warrior Run School District canceled for the day because of the power outage. So our first weather-related delay of the year. We don't even have the Winternet computer. It still has a big plastic cover over the top of the computer, so we'll have to uncover that at some point. All right, Bob, what else is cooking with the chamber?
I want to talk about what's coming up this month. This is always our month that we have our annual agricultural-themed luncheon. This year, it'll be this coming Wednesday, October 9th. We're at Barn Appetit. Our speaker will be Anna Bush. She'll be talking about the spotted lanternfly. Now, all of these events, you can register for them at gsvcc.org. Then we have a ribbon cutting, Mark, in Sunbury. New winery, Iron Vines Winery at 322 Raspberry Avenue, downtown Sunbury. That's on October 12th at 12 noon. Ribbon cutting at the brand new newest winery in the valley, Iron Vines. Looks like a industrial reuse.
I used to pick up my dog food there in that building.
Oh, that was a former Purina building, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's see who had it there. The painter used it for a while.
Okay. Alrighty.
On October 18th, we
have Coffee with the Chiropractor. That's at Boyer Chiropractic Clinic, located at 217 Point Township Drive in Northumberland. Then we're helping to promote the REW Financial Oktoberfest on October 24th. I should mention, too, that I'll be one of the cooking men, so I'll be promoting that night, too. Get your donations in for my cooking men.
That evening.
I am going to be making, it's called Pedro's Pink Passion Ice Cream. So I'm making ice cream on a cold stone. I don't know if you've seen that process. You get a frozen stone, and you put all of the ice cream ingredients on it, and you push it back and forth, and it turns into delicious ice cream. We're gonna put a pink champagne from Pedro's wine collection into the cone. Sort of like a sorbet-like thing with a pomegranate seed on the top, because pink is the way to go that evening. Hey, by the way, this weekend, of course, is the Oktoberfest over in Mifflinburg. Then I wanted to mention on November 1st, we're co-hosting, along with CEDACOG, the CoStars program. Now, a lot of folks know about CoStars because of its municipal governments, authorities, etc., but this will be for local businesses who want to be part of this purchasing program that local governments use. So if you have a product or a process or a service that you want to have as part of the CoStars program, we're going to be doing a introduction to PA CoStars for sellers and suppliers. That's on Friday, November 1st, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and that'll be at the Union County Government Center on 15th Street in Lewisburg. That's November 1st. 1st, and that's for sellers and you know, the folks that want to do business through CoStars. A great way to increase your business product, get your products out there. Ben, you're a longtime member of CoStars, I guess, at LB Water, and I don't know, that might be an opportunity for MechTech or not, but it's a great program. It's a way that local governments can do business with you, can interact with you in an easy way.
All right, well, let's get a quick roundtable going here, and then we'll let everybody go that's associated with the chamber. How are we doing economically? We see our jobless numbers
recap of the national numbers. What we heard was 136,000 jobs in September, slightly lower than what some of the economists were saying, but right where we wanted to be. The other very interesting is the two prior months were adjusted up by 45,000 jobs. So that means 2019, we're basically matching 2018. The economy is still sizzling right along. Unemployment rate, 3.5%. We heard that that's the lowest since 1969. I believe that may match at a national level the lowest unemployment rate we've ever had in our nation. We talked about participation. Participation rate stayed right where it was, which is not where we want it to be. We want that participation rate to get up. We want people who can be in the labor force to be in the labor force. If folks have made a decision to retire early or hit the lottery or something, God bless them, I say. But for the folks who want to be in the labor force, this is the time to get in. This is the time to get the training, to get the skills you need to be part of that labor force. Locally, right here in our backyard, Montour County, one of the lowest unemployment rates in our state at 3.1%. Union County is next at 3.8%. Union County actually dropped 0.4%. Northumberland County at 5.4%, which is basically where it has been. We'd like to see that one go down a little bit. Snyder County is still reporting the highest unemployment rate in the state. We think that is an anomaly, that once the jobs that were created by the reopening of Wood Mode and the and the folks that have gone on to other employment, once those start to get into the system, we'll see that number come down. But we'll be continuing to work with the folks that were displaced from Wood Mode to make sure that they have the jobs that they need to sustain their families and to live the life they want to live.
But how are we really doing? Are we starting to see? Are we still booming? We're still economy still growing? New businesses still starting?
Yeah, I can tell you, we have a lot of activity in the chamber. Our big projects are moving right along. The Thruway, the power plants, all those sort of things are moving right along. Well, power plant is open, of course. The Thruway is, we get a report every month on that. Everything's right where we want it to be there. The big greenhouse out of Bright Farms on 522 is happening.
That's falling
closed
together
yesterday
nicely.
On another piece of property.
Are they under roof station inside there yet? Are they under roof yet?
I don't know. It's clear. I can't tell.
Yeah, right? it's hard to say.
Right. I believe they are, Mark. Sorry about didn't mean you set me up.
It's all good.
I had to take the shot. I believe that they are. I don't think there's any lettuce growing in there yet, but I think they're right on schedule, even with the all the rainy weather we had, et cetera. They worked through the mud. And they have it up and up. It's looking like a greenhouse.
And Art, you have a different thermometer on the valley's temperature economically, because as an engineer, a booming economy means work for you in many cases.
Yeah, let me tell you what I see at the street level. Our office reviews land development plans for both Monroe Township, Snyder County, and also the Snyder County Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission reviews plans for all municipalities that don't have their own Planning Commission, so that's about half the municipalities. The last couple of years at the county level, we probably were reviewing a poultry or a hog operation land development one per month. That has slowed down this past year. In Monroe Township, new land development plans have slowed down a little bit. Now, I'm talking from a commercial standpoint, commercial poultry, commercial hog, restaurants or what have you along the strip in Hummel's Wharf. That has slowed down as far as new things coming in. However, things are under construction right now. I know there's been some commercial real estate transactions along the strip recently with potential development to come there. But in our office, we've been getting calls from, we'll call them private homeowners or private property owners, not what I would call necessarily a commercial phone call, for boundary surveys. We've gotten more boundary survey phone calls this year than we probably have in the last 7 years. In a small office like ours, it's not dramatic numbers, but for us it is. So I don't know if people are protecting what they have, if people don't want to see this wait and see. I'm afraid we're going to have a wait and see year next year with commercial, with business owners, whether or not they want to do capital improvements. But property owners probably still have the blinders on, whether they're doing it purposely or not. I think they still have money to spend. They still have good jobs. Unemployment's low, so everybody that wants a job has one and is putting money into the economy is. And they still feel like they've got money to spend. When things are tough, we don't get boundary survey requests. When things are tough, property disputes, they just go by the way until they have money again.
Well, I think sometimes the question comes up on a property when there's a transaction is, where is the border really? You know, the neighbor knows where he thinks it is, but where is it really is the question.
Well,
you want to
resolve. Are they putting additions on? They're putting a pool in? They doing what needs to be done so they can understand what their level.
We had a couple of those this year. Exactly. One of ours was somebody was putting a pool in and needed to know where the line was. Other people are considering real estate purchases. It's like they've got some money to spend and they want to know where the property is before they buy it. Other people have larger tracts and want to know where it is for estate planning before legacy.
With the potential for growth, can you give us a quick snapshot on the escrow scenario in Snyder County where they've put a moratorium on growth?
I can tell you, I know what we've all read in the newspaper. Trying to think of what I might know a little more than that, I can tell you that about 10 months ago, in December of last year, ESCRA approached the four municipalities involved about a capital improvement project. They had paid off the last capital improvement project. There was no debt in hand at that time, and they had about a $10 to $11 million project they were looking at for some critical system upgrades. They needed all four municipalities to sign off on the debt service as part of the application to DEP, and a couple of the municipalities did not want to sign off on that. I know that the application was submitted to DEP anyway, and DEP declined to review the application as an administratively incomplete because municipalities did not all sign off. DEP reiterated that the sign-offs were required from all four municipalities. So went back and forth between ESCRA and the four municipalities for a couple more months. And the municipalities are interested in renegotiating the agreement that is in place that has established ESCRA and how sewage flows will be billed. I think it really comes down to how sewage flows will be billed. There's a few other minor items, but the big item is how they'll be billed moving forward. And after that didn't move so fast, so quickly through the spring and early summer, I believe that ESCRA decided to resubmit the package to DEP again, and it was again declined by DEP as being administratively incomplete. Now, I saw some correspondence about a week ago where I believe that DEP approved the project, the 537 study plan, for the need for the project. But the language in the letter, and I'm not an attorney, so you'll have to get somebody who is that's involved, and we have five or six of them involved in the project, seemed to indicate that DEP was unwilling still to recommend PennVest funding for the project, even though they've approved the study. They talk about an environmental checklist that has a few comments that need to be cleaned up. I don't know if that's the whole of it or if we're still kind of waiting things out right now. But in the meantime, I think in order to make things move, ESCRA has put a moratorium on.
And for whom, which hat do you wear in that discussion?
I represent the Monroe Township Supervisors as their engineer. So we have four municipalities and two sewer authorities involved in addition to ESCRA. So you have seven entities involved. We are the engineer for Monroe Township Supervisors. The township also has a separate sewer authority that's represented by an engineer out of State College, and Penn Township has a separate authority. Both boroughs, Seals Grove and Shamokin Dam, they vouch for the council and supervisors, or they vouch for councils and authority themselves as one entity.
Do you see that being cleaned up by the end of the year?
I see the potential for it. I believe, and I don't want to, I may stand corrected, but I believe that the four municipalities have agreed upon revisions that they want to see to the agreement. And I think that that needs to be forwarded to ESCRA for their review as to whether or not they'll go along with that. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. If they review it and they're happy with it, yes. If they review it or not, it could linger on.
For whom does ESCRA work?
Oh, I think you know the answer to that question, Mark. My understanding is the four entities, the four municipalities, create and establish ESCRA, and that's a fundamental part of the negotiations here, too. But we have, I think there's a couple attorneys that represent multiple entities. So if there's seven parties here, there's probably five attorneys involved, and I think they're going to have to iron that out.
That's the real sewage clog right there, I can tell you right now.
I didn't say that.
We'll leave it at that, and that's my observation. Men, thank you so much for coming in.
Always
appreciate the insights and the explanation. We appreciate that. There's lots more to say about that if we ever wanted to start way at the beginning, but we're not going to do that today. So, and we appreciate that. One of our listeners sent a text. It says, how much does the average property boundary survey cost? I say $2,000, but...
I'd love to answer that.
Good. Go, please.
Whether you have a half an acre in town or 5,000-acre farm, it's $700.
Oh.
No. It obviously varies based on where you are, what you have for adjacent property owners, how well your deed was written, how well your adjacent deeds were written, how much of your property is wooded with heavy leaves that you want done in the summer versus waiting for the leaves to come off in the winter. Our sweet spot is after the leaves come off before the snow flies and trying not to get shot by the hunters. So that's a small window for when we can do our most efficient work.
Keep your head down, that's when we do it.
If you're looking at a town lot, less than an acre in town, you're depending on who you're talking to and how busy they are, it can probably be $800 to $2,000. You get up into acreages, it's too hard to quote, but 40, 60 acres could be $5,000, $7,000 to find things and haul around in the woods.
So it's an additional expense. And I know this individual lives in town, so maybe they'd be in the less than $1,000 category for it. They want to put
it. Now, Mark, you got to remember, when I get my car serviced, it costs $100 an hour to get my oil changed, and I'm supposed to be a professional in this business. So $1,000 is 10 hours of time to do a survey. You send a crew out, that's two guys, that's 2 hours right there out of those 10. It's tough to get a survey done for $1,800 to $2,500, let me tell you.
Okay. Noted. Thank you very much. And next time you need your oil changed, if you're doing it for $100, please visit the garage on the Orange Street garage I just opened. Please. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with open phones. Anybody who's at this panel wishes to talk about the president and Hunter Biden, feel free to stick around. We'll be back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben Reichle is across me, local conservative, but I'll tell you what, you natural-born listener.
Rather listen than hear.
Do you have a football game tonight?
We do have a football game. We will be broadcasting the Ironmen of Danville and the Montoursville Warriors.
Oh, that should be a good game.
From Montoursville.
All right,
yeah,
so that is tonight. You're working for Comcast. Of course, on WDKOK, we got the Seals Go Seals on Eagle 107.
Cable Sports Production.
Oh.
We're the miniature ESPN of Williamsport.
Absolutely. So we appreciate that. Yeah, good for you. Yeah, we invite folks to watch
or
it.
Fox Sports.
Can folks watch it online if they're not in the Williamsport catchment area?
Yeah, they can go on the cable sports. We did a Seals Grove game last week. Your folks, Pat and Dave Hess, were up in the booth doing the radio. We were doing the TV, Loyal Sox. It was actually a Loyal Sox game for us. They were playing the Seals, and interesting to see some of the hometown folks.
When's the last time you did a Shikellamy game? I saw your broadcast one time, and you could hear Kevin yelling, touchdown, Shikellamy, in the background.
We haven't done a Shik game in a while. We did a lot of games with Coach Tilford when he was at Lewisburg. We've done a couple Shikellamy games. I think Shikellamy Loyal Sox game when his son Todd Tilford made a play that Kevin almost jumped out of the press box. Running back was running the ball. Tilford came in to make the tackle. He just stole the ball and he ran for a touchdown.
It was
a play Kevin Herr can still remember today.
Rugby. That's right. They steal the ball and rugby. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about Shikellamy in a moment. We're going to do news headlines. We invite callers to line up now. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. We're going to be talking about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and President Trump and everybody else involved in the Washington, D.C. discussions these days. So if you have a point, you okay?
I was going to say everyone knee deep in the swamp. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah. The swamp is filling back up.
Some are trying to get rid of it.
It's too bad.
Others are trying to keep it the same.
One of our listeners sent us a note related to the president. We talked about the president is not aging like other presidents have. And one of our listeners says, I agree. He looks younger.
He's. I think he does a 4:30 morning yoga.
And hair dye.
He does yoga. Well,
and tanning.
Well, remember, vanity is the king and queen of Western civilization. So, men and women have spent, if we had 0.002%, you and I, Mark, of the money people spend on vanity, we would still...
I do it. I spend a couple of $100 a month on various serums or cera and ointments and electronic devices to make me look as good as I do, and I don't look that good, so there's a lot more to do.
That's a scary
thought. A lot of men dyeing their hair today on the topic of cosmetics. You notice that?
I guess they are. Age and think of yourself as a fine wine, male or female. Just age with that. But the reality is Father Time can be cruel to everybody. Hopefully Father Time can be good to those that that take care of themselves.
I want to do it the way Rob did it. He got back down to his fight and weight, and he looks better than ever.
Rob Center looks real good.
He's years off.
He's probably three digits down, right?
He's halfway there.
Well, yeah. Good for him. I mean, but again, here's the scenario. If you're healthy, genetics will dictate it. Be healthy, though, but your genetics are your benchmark.
Ooh.
But when you take care of yourself with weight and eat more good things, that's good. Eat less bad things, but you know what? Eat good and bad things. Like I said, just more or less of the ones you need to. Get the doctor checkup quarterly, twice
a
year.
Get out of the recliner.
Yeah. Just move.
Half hour a day.
But and here locally, you got enough areas that you can go and work out. And I certainly recommend the local YMCAs are going to be up now in Lewisburg in a bigger way at the Miller Center. But the local YMCA over here in Sunbury, those folks over there, they get 5 pounds out of a 3-pound bag. That facility is there. It allows you to work out, daycare, swimming, great facility.
All right, steam room.
Steam room is excellent.
Steam. That's the best part about the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. Let's see. One of our listeners sends us a note. I don't like men who dye their hair. Okay, so there's an opinion voiced for us. And that's from a woman.
And she counts.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're launching into open phones. I have some brief news headlines here. Chronic wasting disease continues to be a big issue in Pennsylvania. Most hunters around here are are only aware that it's happening, but it's a big deal in the southern tier. It's now encroaching on the southern part of Snyder County. Game Warden Jared Turner says they are working on it.
Basically, what we are looking at doing is having additional deer tested in the areas in which these positives have shown up. We are looking at areas immediately around where a positive deer was discovered, and having additional deer harvested through the use of hunters, whether that be through the Deer Management Assistance Program or DMAP, or through the use of, with landowner permission, targeted removals if a certain objective isn't made.
Targeted removals. That's what we'll be doing Saturday morning with archery season, hopefully reducing the threat of CWD and enjoying a good harvest. This Saturday, Linda Schlegel-Culver held a meeting last night with the State Game Commission and hunters at the Sportsman's Little Sportsman's Shop in Point Township. You can read lots more about the Game Commission proposal at WKOK.com. The back and forth does continue between Chicoutimi and Southern Columbia as they try to get their game rescheduled that's set for next week. PHAC, the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference, is currently considering a new proposal authored by the athletic director at Chicoutimi, Tim Four. The superintendent at Chicoutimi, Dr. Jason Bendel, hopes that PHAC will expedite so they can get next game's logistics in order for next week's game if it is changed or changed back, I should say. Governor Tom Wolf is taking a big step in his effort to fight climate change and the nation's fourth biggest emitter of greenhouse gases. The Democratic governor Thursday ordered his administration to start the work on regulations to bring Pennsylvania into a nine-state consortium that sets a price and limits on greenhouse gas emissions in power plants. Joining the regional greenhouse gas initiative could face pushback from the Republican, is already facing tons of pushback from the business community and the Republican-controlled legislature and the state's influential coal and gas industries. Pennsylvania is the nation's number three electric power state, and its energy sector is the largest emitter of greenhouse gases. Its dozens of power plants fueled by coal, oil, and natural gas could be forced to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to the state annually under that program that will help put Pennsylvania in line with other national standards for greenhouse gas emissions. And finally, in a foolish move, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives will resume opening their sessions with a faith-based prayer. That's more than a month after a federal appeals court said the practice comports with the U.S. Constitution. Republican Speaker Mike Turzai of Allegheny County announced those plans Thursday after a federal district court judge ended the injunction. The Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals had ruled 2-1 in August that the prohibition against atheists and other nonbelievers giving the opening invocation didn't violate the Constitution's Establishment Clause. Turzai's office says he hasn't selected the person who will give the next invocation, but he says it will be a faith-based individual, not an atheist or non-believer. The House returns October 21st. They're presently on vacation. Since the guest chaplaincy policy was blocked, Turzai has been assigning the invocation to House members, and all have been faith-based remarks.
So how would you have an atheist or a non-believer open up a session to believers? Is that like a Monty Python skit?
I don't know. I guess you worship the earth or science or something, or just believe in the earth and science. I don't know. You shouldn't have any prayer before the legislature, so they should get to work. Absolutely. Everything they do in Harrisburg has been wrong, except the governor's been vetoing some of the worst legislation we've seen in years. Now the governor wants to get us in this cockamamie regional thing. That's a terrible idea. And so virtually everything they do is wrong, including the faith-based prayer that they were doing. That's illegal, and which part don't you agree with there?
Well, they say it's not illegal, though.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. They've been given the green light, but on moral principle, it should be illegal. They are a diverse body. They should be welcoming to everybody, non-believers, believers, and their job is not to pray or to worship or to have church service. It's to do legislation and to hear important topics that relate to Pennsylvanians and try to get things done that benefit all Pennsylvanians. It's funny that they agree with the prayer and they all say amen at the end, and then they disagree the rest of the day. And nothing gets done, and those things they do hurt us.
So you think maybe they should have a moment of silence
I don't really. I think they should get to work and do their jobs.
But then the moment of silence could be the whole session.
It'd be the only time they agree on anything. Okay. And let me ask you this. Okay, so if anybody wants to call in about that, the faith-based prayer topic is going to be back on the agenda in the state House. I don't know about the Senate, but in the House, it'll be back on. That's a foolish idea. Maybe you have an opinion about that. We certainly hope they pray for themselves and others all the time, and we should pray for them all the time because of the impasses that we see and the bad decisions of the vortex that sucked them all in. So now I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. I want to take a quickie break. I will be right back. Yeah, we got the Green Dragons on the agenda tomorrow night. So tomorrow morning, we have Penn State on the radio starting at noon. Well, the broadcast starts at 10:30. Do you see Karen Campbell there? Congratulate her. She got to go thanks to the Penn State ticket blitz on WKOK. If you're not lucky enough to win the tickets, we'll see you on the radio at 10:30 with kickoff at noon, and then 5:30 p.m. is our airtime for the Shikellamy Braves.
Homecoming for Shikellamy, homecoming for Penn State.
Is Bucknell's homecoming? No, that was earlier. Okay, so Bucknell's got a home game, too. So Kevin Herr and our good play-by-play guy, Mr. Matt Catrilla, are going to be at the Bucknell game. Mm. And then they're going to make a boot scoot to Sunbury for the Shikellamy game tomorrow. So they're going to be busy. All right, we are talking about prayer at the moment, but we're going to switch back to greenhouse gases in a moment and the government, the governor's cockamamie plan. But first, Bobby D. is on the line to talk about the state legislature and their Christian prayer that they're going to start doing again.
Good morning, everybody. But anyhow, when it comes to the, I'm going to say, rules of operation for any governing body in that, I think it should be up, you know, because this is a commonwealth and not a state. So therefore, some of the laws are different than the states. And that, but at least, you know, to set some type of preference to start your meetings.
Well, should you have a prayer before a legislative meeting? Honestly, I mean, I hope they pray all night before the meeting because it's obviously not helping. But why during the meeting? That seems wrong.
Well, you know, of course, you know, once the biz course, you know, in the broadcasting industry, of course, when I worked at WKOK years ago, we had to start out with the national anthem and portals of prayer and beginning our broadcast day. And that, of course, you know, they've since changed the rules on that. But as far as our legislative body, don't forget this country was founded on religious freedom.
Right, exactly. So you shouldn't have Christianity forced down your throat if you go to the state legislature. I agree. All right. Thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate that. Mike, it's an open phones Friday. What's on your mind today?
Well, this is Mike from Bloomsburg, and what's on my mind is you made a comment about the governor deciding that he wants to unilaterally impose a tax on power plants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, here's the way I feel about that. First of all, the power plants that are located in Pennsylvania, they employ a large number of people. And secondly, those power plants that are here in Pennsylvania, they're abiding by the federal and state laws, okay? But the governor has decided that it's in his best interest and the government's best interest to come in and essentially put a tax that would cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and it would go to the state to be used however they see fit. But that money would come out of my pocket, your pocket, and everyone else's pocket. And if the governor would decide that he wants to have a scheme of a cap-and-trade policy, then some of that money would be siphoned off into most likely his friends in the the bureaucratic area of the state where they're connected, where they can get their hands on this money. And I just think that it's an overreach, and it's typical of what these progressive Democrats is what they call themselves right now. Essentially, in my mind, they're socialists. And I think it's a fair warning to the people of Pennsylvania that 2020 is very important, and we cannot allow the Democrats to take over the House, the Senate, and the presidency, because if that were to happen, then that would allow people like Tom Wolf to run amok, especially if he was able to be part of the Democratic presidency that would pack the court with liberal judges that would agree with all these tax-raising schemes.
I don't feel that strongly about just Democrats versus Republicans, and we've seen that with the president. Does have a few sound policies. We've talked about that, and we've talked about, you know, Democrats in Washington, D.C. have some good ideas, but of course all of that is at an impasse now. And in Harrisburg, same thing. If you want Republicans to run thing, baby, watch your taxes. Every tax raise we've had, including this big gas tax, you can just thank Republicans. Now, yes, we had a governor that was Republican at the time, so I can appreciate that. But Democrats have been the worst thing that, or I'm sorry, the Republicans have been the worst thing that ever happened to us in Harrisburg. Fortunately, we have a Democratic governor with the brakes on them. Now, I like things the way they are with, you got a mix that, you know, the House in Washington keeps the Senate in check and vice versa. And, of course, the president hasn't had to veto too much. But in Harrisburg, it's the same thing. You know, the Democratic governor is keeping the brakes. When we do finally get a good piece of legislation, the governor seems to sign it. Some of the budgets he's signed, some he hasn't signed because he didn't agree with them, but then they took effect, you know, what, I guess after the time runs out, it takes effect whether he does anything
or
not.
I don't see Pennsylvania moving forward, and I'll put the onus on both the governor and the legislator. I mean, what has the legislator done? What as far as what legislation has been done by the Senate and the House, and the governor vetoing it or not? But I feel we're going to sleepwalk. The governor's office in two more years will have 8 years of a sleepwalking governor. We'll have 8 years of a House and Senate that offered minimal solutions. And the frustration is we're not. Now, I'd like to know real quick, when you said in Washington the Democrats have some good ideals, which are, is there one or two that stick out, what the Democrats are trying to do?
Where, in Washington or Harrisburg?
Washington.
Washington, D.C. Democrats in Washington. Let's see. Well, they might have a health care proposal, but that's not being talked about.
Okay.
I don't think they're coming forward with anything noteworthy.
Yeah, I don't see really anything coming out of Democrats. I see the I see the president and his administration trying to move things forward, trying to get some sanity into the immigration, illegal immigration and immigration status, some sanity back into the trade policies, some sanity back into the tax code. I see one of the things that I thought gets very, doesn't get any coverage, of course, is the allowing the Medical Act, I forget the exact name of it, that allow people to try some of the new drugs that are out. I think it's almost a last resort type of bill that will allow medications that are in the testing phases to be used for people that have terminal diseases. You know, I see administration that's trying to be proactive for the people when it comes to some of the things that you would think would be common sense. Frustration down in D.C., yeah, on the budget proposals. But, you know, we'll have to, you know, time will tell there. But the Democrats seem to be still stuck in 2016 or 2017 after the inauguration of this president in trying to, you know, erase an election.
Mike, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
One of the things, Mark, that you said was you like to see a mix. And I think that's where we have the common ground, and that is my warning, that with all of the media push against the Republicans and Trump and the Senate, I'm just afraid that we're going to jump off the cliff with the, you know, holding hands with the Democrats and give them everything, and if that were to happen, they'll come out of the gate running, and things are going to push through before we know what happens. And I think it would be a bad move to allow that to happen. That's really my point here. And the reason for that is if we were to allow that to happen, then the Democrats are going to be able to put the people in the court that they want, and then there will be no barrier to protect the people from an overzealous government. And because that's what I see the left is, an overzealous government. You know, when the governor of Pennsylvania can come out and say, hey, they don't want to enact taxes and laws, I'm just going to do it myself. It's my right. And I think that's wrong. I think we should have the discussion, and the people should decide what we want to do with the power plants, what we want to do with the clean air, and what we want to do with taxes. And we can't have a governor running around and say, well, it's my right, I'm just going to do it.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much for calling in, Mike. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
1-800-795-9565, 100% wide open right now. Our Text Connect system is open, too. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a note. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. Some notes from the newsroom. Warrior Run School District is closed today while that 359-customer power outage continues. So Warrior Run School District closed today. They were initially on a two-hour delay when the outage started around 5 this morning. And now Warrior Run is closed. Bucknell has their homecoming tomorrow. They would love to see you there. Those games are wide open to the public, and they would love to see you with that midday, early afternoon game tomorrow. It's homecoming. Very, 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 very family-friendly events they are, not just for adults or college kids. It is a whole community party tomorrow at Bucknell. They'd love to see you there. If you can't make it, listen on our sister station, Eagle 107. You're listening to On the Mark. We'll be back shortly with some closing thoughts. We'll get Ben's brief remarks about the impeachment inquiry, and we'll do that shortly here on WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Lance, you get a moment or two because we're just about out of time, but go right ahead. We'll give you an open mic for a short time here.
Okay, you're going to say, here he goes again. But, you know, our president isn't aging like the other presidents did. Maybe for the fact he doesn't drink. That could really, really play hob when you get to be that age.
Yeah, he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and looks like he must be exercising. So
doesn't do drugs.
4:30 yoga classes are going okay.
Well, also there, you know, when you talk about the invocation at the legislature, I attend both the progressive club and also the conservative club, and of course, missing from the progressives is the invocation and the flag. And the flag that's there makes me uncomfortable. You know, folks that see the American flag, oh, that's uncomfortable, I can't have that. But the UN flag does that to me. And that's what they have.
The progressives have the UN flag at their meetings?
Yeah, yeah. It's on the wall in the room that they, yeah.
But is it there because of them, or is it there because it's there?
Well, it's there. I don't know who puts it up.
Oh, okay, so it just happens to be there.
No, they put it up every meeting.
Oh, they do? Who
said
that?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, that's right. Lance, they put it up every meeting?
Every meeting I've been there, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Where's there?
They're at that big church on 3rd Street in Lewisburg.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for checking in. Impeachment inquiry. You
impeachment
happy with
inquiry,
this?
You know, it's a hoax again, and they, you know, step up. Pelosi, step your people up and vote on it. Then you can get real on it if it is. And we've seen this stuff. Adam Schiff, boy, I hate to say, just a disgrace. You know, do a parody lie. Media is complacent with this, too. It's just almost to the point where it's ridiculous. Other scenario, this Shikellamy Southern football stuff, you know, holy smokes. If the PIA and the district said it was okay, somebody didn't check with the conference, and seems to be, like I said, a little strange when you look at the circumstances, but these are folks that are running pretty large athletic departments, and some of them are running pretty large schools. you would think somebody would be checking the boxes before somebody made some decisions.
I'd be embarrassed if I was PHAC right now, but that's just me. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry we don't have more time. Mm-hmm. I got a lot more to say, and I know you have a lot more good opinions, so we appreciate you coming in.
Have a good weekend, and we will see you next week.
All right, break a leg tonight doing your Montoursville-Danville game in Montoursville. All right,
yes.
Have a blast.
Okay.
We'll have a lot more games here on WKOK and Eagle 107 and tomorrow on the Valley and WKOK. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury WKOK News, time 10 o'clock.